7 o'clock. Let's do the thing. Tim and Joel pod. Tim and Joel call it in the ring. That's what we're going to do. We're going to call it in the ring from outside the ring in our comfy chairs.
We have so much to call, Tim. We have so many things to call it in the ring tonight, and I am here to call it with you. How are you, Tim?
I'm all right. You?
I've been rewatching wrestling all day, been getting through it. I had to rewatch Money in the Bank because we were on the watch along and I missed a bunch of talk. And I watched parts of Raw and I realized, you know what, Tim? Maybe complaining is not conversation. Maybe we need to stop complaining because it's not conducive to the conversation.
See, but our entire show is just me and you having a conversation. That's it.
So we need to start complaining.
I don't know. I'm just saying that everything that is our conversation is a conversation because that's what a conversation is. I don't know how to... I don't know.
But are we supposed to complain more? Is that what we're trying to do here?
We're supposed to complain in a conversation? We can choose to complain or not complain, and I don't think that has any bearing on what is and isn't a conversation.
Can I recommend a conversation topic?
Okay. Fire away.
Leaving a thumbs up on this video, liking, subscribing to us here at timandjoelpod.com. Maybe you're listening to us in audio form. I saw a spike in listenership. If you're one of those people, welcome, glad to have you, but maybe consider leaving one of them 5-star reviews. That gets us a little closer to getting into your friends' ears, and that's what I love, and I want to be in all your ears, and I'm sure, Tim, you want to adequately provide audio indifference to their ears as well.
I mean, I did wave to the people listening on audio, so I don't know what I want, man. Anyway, hello, audio people.
All right, let's talk about Money in the Bank. We'll do what we usually do. Because we have Smack Pack every Sunday at noon, we'll cover those matches. We'll talk about the SmackDown matches first, and then we'll do the matches from the Raw side of things on the pay-per-view and how they relate to the Raw side of Raw. How does that work for you?
Okay.
First of all, I gotta say, one thing I really liked about Money in the Bank overall, I don't know if you realize this or recognize this, but they did a really good job of like explaining the major accomplishments and the backstory for people who are maybe coming back to WWE after the pandemic, or at least as it relates to championship accolades at Money in the Bank. What'd you think?
I thought the whole show was pretty good. Yes, I think they did that well. I think they did a lot of good things on Sunday.
Well, let's start off. We'll talk about the SmackDown Tag Team Championships on the kickoff show. Listen, titles changed hands. I love it. It makes sense for what they're doing. The roll-up leverage pin, Tim. The most dangerous move in wrestling.
It is the most dangerous move in wrestling. I mean, this just smacks of, we had plans and we got money and the law doesn't matter. Because, I don't know, when you got money in the U.S., the law doesn't matter. So it's fine. You ain't.
They played it down on the main show. They brought it up, but it made it more about Roman. So
yeah.
They go backstage a little bit later and Roman does the gaslighting thing again. He says, you know, who brought you back? You wouldn't be there if it wasn't for me. And then he stares at Jimmy, says, and you. And then he just kind of trails off and says, but we're here now and it's celebratory. And he says, give me what I want. Roman says that to Jay and Jimmy. And Jay acknowledges him as the tribal chief and sucks up. I don't know if he noticed him, but right afterwards looks over at Jimmy. Jimmy is very reluctant and plays along.
He did play along, though. He got real into it. But it was after that little nudge. So I don't know.
Just does the whole like, oh, yeah, you my tribal chief. Yeah, you're the man. Loved it. I loved it. I mean, I thought there was so much in the visuals last night. There's so much in the way they spoke last night. It was a really good Roman and Usos story. And then we get fast forward to the title match, the Universal Championship match. Really good stuff. We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah. They do the hug spot again. This time we're on the Usos and they have dead eyes. And we don't see Roman's reaction. What do you think we're doing here? What's going on with the Usos and Roman?
I don't know. They're still keeping the thread alive that they're like not necessarily all in there. They're abused, right? Like they're in this situation that there's no real way out of because they got their ass whooped.
Yep.
And will continue to get their ass whooped if they do try to cross him. But I don't know. It might just be a they're biding their time type thing, you know.
It's an interesting concept. And of course, earlier this week, there was talk about if The Rock comes back, is it maybe going to be a tag match? Is it going to be The Rock and an Uso versus Roman and an Uso? Is it what, how do the four kind of play together? Obviously a singles match is ideal,
yeah.
But if you have to deal with certain things like insurances, when you're a big movie star,
The Rock not being in the best ring shape, even like, yeah, hard to
he's
say.
He's 50. It's you know, it's a thing. And yeah, the Bloodline now has all the gold on SmackDown except for that women's title, as Naomi has been moved over to SmackDown as well. We'll get there. We'll talk about that. First, let's talk about the men's Money in the Bank.
Best match on the show. So good. So good.
You really liked it.
So happy. Really liked it. Really enjoyed it. You know who didn't do as exciting of a showing was Ricochet and Jomo. I was expecting a little bit more. They did well, but I expect
At one point, the match kind of becomes like a tale of two groups, right? They have like Drew, Kevin Owens, Seth, and John Morrison. And then on the other side, it was I put in my notes Randy, but no, Riddle, because Riddle was doing all the RKOs, Big E, Nakamura, and Ricochet.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like they did the split up. I actually like one thing that John Morrison does, and they've been kind of teasing it. He wanted to do it solo. He wanted to do it by himself. He sends Miz to the back and says, this is on me. I want to do it. I like it. There's some character development. And Ricochet is back in his gear after months of wearing all black because he said, I want to prove myself.
Yep.
That was his whole reasoning for going into the jeans and everything. He said, I won't wear gear again until I've proven myself. So I guess maybe winning that match going into Money in the Bank, that last man standing match, that was good enough for him.
Those matches were really, really good, right? And, you know, they got more time and room to work there. It's tough when you got all these guys in one ring and all these big spots. But, you know, they did well. It was good. It wasn't the biggest thing in the world for me. But, like, yeah, I think Morrison doing the thing at the top was really a good move. You know, I think they did a lot of good stuff to advance stories in this, too. Like, I like the Drew beatdown. I like that Shanky and whoever the other guy is, whatever his name is.
Veer and Shanky?
Veer and Shanky ran in and interfered, and then they dragged his ass out. I thought that was the right move, because that way we can continue making that feud a feud and, like, getting it hotter and hotter. So
yeah. So sidebar, we get to Raw the next night. Jinder comes out. It's his birthday, and he says he took out Drew McIntyre. He took a chair to him at Money in the Bank, beat him, and dragged him out. Great stuff. And then Drew comes out of nowhere and beats the shit out of Shanky with a chair.
Yeah, that gnarled chair, and then grabbing a second chair. Like, I love that. That's what I want from the weekly TV. I want those moments, right? Like, that is a moment when he just, like, and it's not something I've never seen before, but, like, just mangling a chair on a dude. Cool. Simple. That's all you needed for this week. We'll do some more next week.
Just absolutely destroys Shanky. Fine with
that.
And you're right. And you know what? WWE lives for those moment to moment. They don't live necessarily for those long-term storytelling beats. They'd rather give you those big pops. And boy, there were plenty in that 48-hour period from Money in the Bank to the end of Raw, as we discuss. So, listen, Riddle and Shinsuke have a really, really cool exhibition in the middle of the match where they start doing MMA holds and they all keep getting out of each other's stuff, all the kicks. It's good. I like it. And then, you know, Ricochet does the ladder to the ropes to the floor spot, which was cool.
Very good. Best spot he did in the night.
RKOs for everybody, of course.
So I like, many RKOs.
I do like the RKO into the stomp from Seth to Riddle. That worked for me.
Quite.
And then KO dies going through a ladder from Seth.
The KO's big spot, yeah.
Poor bastard.
He
He's
does
okay.
the thing. Yeah.
He's okay.
I'm sure he is.
Seth gets the giant big ending from Big E. Big E wins Money in the Bank. And the crowd goes nuts
as they should.
I enjoyed the match. I really did. And it didn't feel too long. I didn't feel like I had to fast forward much. I did little 10-second scrubs here and there when I was like, okay, it's calmed down. But the match itself, like, it was hot. I liked it.
It was very good. Yeah. Really into it.
So now we have Biggie with Money in the Bank. We're going to find out. I joked online that he's going to face Apollo for the Intercontinental Championship and cash in on Friday. I got half of it right because it's Biggie and Apollo at Rolling Loud on Friday. Good stuff. All right. We don't need to do Boog's watch. He sounded fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. The backstage segment, what'd you think? With him and Riddle and playing the song and Shinsuke just looking absolutely over it until he does the pose, the Randy pose.
It was all so dumb and weird, but it was worth it just to see KO like shake his head, settle up, and then go out to start kicking off the entrances. Like, I thought that was I thought that it did a good job of transitioning into a really cool shot in the start of the match. So
yeah, worth it. And I also have to shout out Kevin Owens doing the Homer Simpson landing on a fire hydrant spot, going onto the ladder. Ouch.
Yeah, ouch indeed.
Drip Twins, by the way, Jomo and Seth, they should be on the same brand. They should team together, call themselves the Drip Twins.
Oh, I'm all for keeping them together, but
Drip Squad. Let's talk about the Universal Championship match. So Big E has Money in the Bank. We don't know what that's going to mean yet, but we know that the Universal Championship match, we're getting ready for it. And Seth is like, Edge stole my match. He says, I need a new plan. I can't do a nasally Seth voice. I have a nasally voice already. So he needs a new plan. He needs change. And he calls a shot and says he's next in line. Why was he in Money in the Bank if he's next in line?
Because, I don't know. He's unhinged. He doesn't care anymore. He earned his shot by losing that match. So
big pop for Edge again as he comes out in Houston. They're into it. They love it. The match is slow. So very, very,
very slow. Very slow to start, man. Oof.
There's so a moment slow. Where Roman gets tossed to the outside by Edge. And Heyman is talking to Roman and saying, teach him about Sika. It was Roman's dad. And Roman gets in. He starts punching him. And he's very he's a savage. And they go to the outside and Roman hits a Samoan drop. I like that. It's those little things that get added in. I like that. Michael Cole, by the way, losing his shit over a Superman punch being reversed into a backslide pin. He's like, he's got the backslide.
It is one of the most dangerous moves in all of wrestling. So it is a big moment, big spot. I get Michael Cole's exuberance.
Did you like the barricade spots?
I know they're your favorite. I like that they picked up the spare. That was the best part of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Roman does the guillotine, and of course, Edge's he gets a spear out of it. Nice. Edge tries the spear, and Roman gets the guillotine into it. That I liked. That's what was cool.
Yeah.
And then they do the longest ref bump ever. Down goes Charles Robinson. Roman has this look on his face. It's just like, oh, this son of a bitch. But also one that's like, oh, this son of a bitch. And he realizes it's a great opportunity for him to use. Yeah, the opportunity. That's later on. So we get the chair pieces and the cross faces and the shenanigans and the Usos.
He bends
and
the chair Mysterios. Again because he can't stomp that bit off clean for some reason. I don't really get it.
Roman, if you're listening, buddy, I'm telling you, don't stomp from the center. You stomp from the sides.
That's it.
God, one day. So the Usos come out, the Mysterios are right behind them, they stop them, and then Seth comes out and he gets involved, and then the ooh-ah, and then the Edge spear, and then the new ref comes down and we get the two count. Sure. And then Seth interferes again, Roman gets the spear and he gets a win.
yeah, it's just like, let's do a little more. Okay, cool. Here we are. We're done.
It was a whole lot of a slog just to get to a sprint finish, which was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. And once again, Edge can't do the thing because somebody else has gotten in his way, according to him. Seth interferes. It continues that feud. It transitions to that feud. I'm fine with it because I didn't really, we already saw this match anyway. So I'm fine that I don't care. Like, I didn't believe that Edge deserved just to have a one-on-one match. I don't think it was Daniel Bryan's fault that he didn't win at WrestleMania, you know? So like their entry into that didn't really give them the justification for me. So I'm fine with Edge losing this in nefarious means and then being bumped down and he can do the Edge versus Seth program, which I'm much more excited for. So
yeah, all good. I'm looking forward to that. I think we'll get a very good match from those two and a really good story if the two are allowed to collaborate the way they have so far. And then, of course, acknowledge me, and out comes the biggest pop of the night, if not for many years, as John Cena comes back.
John Cena is back. He says no words. He's just...
Says something afterwards to the crowd, and he's happy. He's happy to be back. Yeah. And then they announce him for Raw, and he comes out on Raw, and he hypes the crowd, and then he calls Roman an asshole.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair. Big pop for I Love You, Roman Mom, by the way. Forgot about that. Oh, best spot of that entire match. Was he shut her down so... It was so perfect.
The look on her face, my God.
Yeah.
She's just like, ooh, sorry.
Her child seemed very disgusted by her. I assume it was her child. I don't know. It was a child who seemed very disgusted by her affection for Roman. Very funny.
5 years ago. 5 years ago, that child would have been like, Now. Ooh.
Bad mommy.
Cena's out on Raw. There's a good match coming here at SummerSlam for Cena and Roman, right? It'll be a good callback for Hollywood Rock. We've done Cena and Roman once at No Mercy in 2017. Roman won that one as well. And Cena brings up a 17th title win. So a theory that floated around was Roman's a dick, obviously. Since he's such a dick, he's going to tell Cena, if I beat you at SummerSlam, you cannot challenge ever again for a WWE Heavyweight Championship. What do you think of that theory?
I think that'd be good. Gives him an out. I'd enjoy that.
It does. It might upset some people because they want to maybe see that Nature Boy streak go down. But Cena said it himself. He doesn't want to beat it. And Nature Boy said, I want Cena to beat it. So there you go. What do you think about Cena playing up like these old views of Roman being boring and old and over it and overrated, like the 2016 view?
I didn't like that, really. I was like, oh, we're doing the fourth wall. Okay.
Is a little meta for you too?
I didn't like it at all. I was like, oh, this is the angle we're doing. Okay, because like when he's like, and that's me saying this, and I was like, yeah, it is, while you wear this fugly merch. Like,
that's getting snapped up by the bunch.
Oh, I bet. It's atrocious. Yellow and green, hideous garbage. Anyway, whatever. Buy your slop, idiots.
Your John Deere gear.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, of course, in 2010, this was the Cena take. It is what it is. It's not for me. I think that they're going to maybe go a little too inside baseball, but they did that with Cena and The Rock as well.
Yeah.
So I can't say I'm shocked. We'll find out what Roman has to say on Friday.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm more curious about that because Roman's been turning it up every single time. So maybe they have a good answer for that. So
let's go to the WWE title match from Money in the Bank. MVP grabs Kofi's foot and it's all downhill from there for Kofi Kingston.
Squash. My God.
Kofi Kingston cannot win a match anymore.
Oh, it was brutal. It set up what needed to happen because, it made Lashley look very strong.
Yeah. Lashley picking up Kofi, running him into the post was brutal and just wild.
Kofi was bumping. He took so many rough-looking spots. Like, star of that match was Kofi because he made it look damn good.
He ragdolled.
Yeah.
Got ragdolled. Great. There's an ugly-looking hurt lock. And then Lashley broke it just so he can hit an uglier suplex, just throw him around. Yeah. I wrote this down. Dominator.
Yeah.
Lashley screams, Dominator. The crowd chants one more time, Dominator. Lashley goes, shh, hits the hurt lock. We're done. That's it. It makes sense. The weeks leading up to this were Kofi, poking the bear and then the bear got wild at the last Raw before the show. It made perfect sense. I liked it. Do I feel bad for Kofi a little bit? Sure. But you know what? He did his move. And Kofi has become one of those characters that can always rebound and find himself back in the picture down the line.
100%. It's just, they needed to make Lashley look you know, as mean as they've been billing him as, the Almighty. And I think they really did that with this. They solidified it here because Drew was like a, you know, a constant challenge. They had MVP doing a lot of interference stuff. And I think this is just what they needed to do, especially with the direction we're about to go.
Exactly. The next night we have an open challenge from Lashley to anyone in the locker room. I thought it was going to be Jeff Hardy coming out to No More Words and then getting squashed. Turns out I was very wrong. I wasn't wrong about No More Words. I wasn't wrong about Jeff Hardy, but I was wrong about the opponent and the outcome. We'll get to that. The next night, the open challenge. MVP is apologizing. He apologizes to Bobby Lashley, but they're both moving on in the name of dominance.
Yeah.
And they're back to business. I like the promo. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Like, I don't know. I'm solidly behind Lashley. Like, I think that it's good. I think they've managed the WWE title well. It's just been, you know, the Raws have not been great. But this, I thought, was a good segment, for sure. Like, they did a good transition off of Drew onto Lashley. Lashley feels like a real champion. I'm going to, like, actually remember this championship reign now after basically this. Because it seemed like they might have just been treading water with the Lashley's ladies bullshit. No. And they found a way to elegantly move off of that too. It's really well done. So I appreciate this promo, and it showed like an interesting, weird to see a mature response from two men in the WWE.
In a very shocking turn of events, Keith Lee is back. It's good to see him in a while. I'm very happy. I no longer have to listen to people ask week after week, or even day after day, where's Keith Lee? How is Keith Lee? What's Keith Lee up to? Is Keith Lee still on the roster? Will Keith Lee be back anytime soon? I miss Keith Lee. We don't have to hear it anymore because Keith Lee is finally back.
Well, and we also don't have to read Keith Lee's shitty vague tweets.
I didn't say it, but I certainly agree with it. He has a good match, and it's a statement win for Lashley, and I think it was a good one. For anyone who's saying in the chat that he got buried, I don't think you understand what burials mean, because that was not a burial. Keith Lee came back. He lost the match. Chalk it up to ring rust. I don't care. Chalk it up.
He was more competitive than Kofi Kingston. Champion.
Like, a dominant champion.
Yeah.
If you can't get that through your head, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know. It reintroduced his moveset to the fans. And again, he got more offense than Kofi. So it's fine. He looked good.
The attempt on the Hurt Lock from Lashley to Lee was excellent. He's struggling. He's having such a hard time. After he dominated Lee, he got him to that point. And next thing you know, he can't do it. Lee breaks it. So what does he have to do? He's got to win it with the spear.
Yep.
And you know why? Because Keith Lee is the harbinger of Goldberg. Because this is the second time that Keith Lee has brought out Goldberg. The last time he did it was in January when Raw Retro happened, and it was Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE title. The match ends and abruptly Goldberg's music hits and he comes out and Keith Lee had rolled out of the ring and ran away. And what happened this time? Keith Lee gets pinned, rolled out of the ring, goes away, and out comes Goldberg. By the way, Goldberg's music hits and you see Lashley turn to MVP and the camera picks it up as he says, "What the f—" and they cut away right away.
Good job. It's
very funny. Goldberg is next at SummerSlam. Sure.
Yeah, he is next. He did his insane old man cackle and then he's next. It's the thing he used to say. Yeah, I also don't hate this because you know what? They're paying Goldberg, so this is a necessity, and this match is fine. Please let Lashley win, but who knows?
I don't expect it, but I also wouldn't mind potentially a cash-in.
Yep, that's fine too.
All about it. We'll see. Raw tag match from Money in the Bank. very quickly, the almost assisted Bulldog Hurricane Rana to the outside for AJ Styles. Wow, great.
Awesome. Shucking a baby. Very funny.
I like that every single time Ivar does the cartwheel, the commentary puts it over as like this giant feat of athleticism.
I know. They're and like, it's like,
oh my God, the athleticism of Ivar. And I'm like, what? Because he's like 350 pounds. And
he barely, it's angled so heavily that he looks like a child attempting a cartwheel, but it's good. It is impressive. But like his feet don't get that high up on the ground.
Exactly. Viking Raiders are chopping down Omos. It's fine. It's cool. Omos barely leaves his feet. He sells a little bit, whatever. Omos pins Eric. Okay, Omos continues to win. The next night on Raw, Riddle teams up with the Viking Raiders against John Morrison, AJ, and Omos. And again, Jomo's trying to play the face of Miz's heel. Miz is out there, kind of costs him the match. And sure. Again, Omos is throwing AJ around again. That's a thing now.
Yeah.
That's going to be the thing.
Which is fine. I like that for their offense. But
Caleb in the chat saying I'm 185 and I still can't do a cartwheel. So there you go.
I'm 180, can't do a cartwheel, but I'm just uncoordinated.
Everyone, okay, fine. Can you do a cartwheel? Let me know. Viking Raiders pin John Morrison, so they get a rematch against AJ and Omos. I guess why not?
Sure. Okay. I guess I don't know. That was it. Was underwhelming. Sure. I don't know. I really miss NXT Viking Raiders.
Seriously, the match. To be honest, going back and watching the tag title match on Money in the Bank, I enjoyed it the second time. I actually got to like sit down and I paced out the timing and it was good. I liked the match. The next night, I kind of had to speed through it a bit, but it was fine. I was having other conversations while that match was happening live. So I was like, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. But going back and rewatching it, whatever. I don't like that John Morrison gets pinned, so they give up the tag title rematch, unless that's going to play in down the line with Jomo and AJ and Omos and they blame him. And if that becomes a thing, sure. I don't really trust WWE.
I would love a Jomo AJ feud, but as long as they have it, maybe if they drop the titles to Viking Raiders, we can see that. But otherwise I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah. And like our chat makes a point. Like, it's better than pinning the champions. I agree with that. They've done a lot of that and we've talked about it. I would like to see a link between AJ blaming John Morrison, saying we wouldn't be doing this if Viking Raiders hadn't pinned John Morrison.
Or just don't have a rematch.
Well, there'll be plenty of those because the women's Money in the Bank happened. And oh boy, first of all, Zelina and Liv Morgan are still going at it on Twitter.
That's annoying.
You know what the best part is? They're going to have a feud. They're going to have matches. And they're going to become a tag team. Just watch.
God.
Just watch.
No, I don't know. No.
It's going to happen. Natty and Liv are fighting over a ladder while people do moves around it and on it. I found that weird.
I found this match so forgettable. I don't remember many spots.
It's true. And Tamina still can't climb a ladder until the finish. Yeah. Shout out to Michael Cole. Did the Naomi, she calls it the rear view. He actually did the meme, which I love. And Alexa Bliss is still trying to use her magic to get the briefcase.
I told you, she made someone walk down. It's just a shame that in order to do so, she also had to walk down.
Very strange. Bad acting for everyone. Yeah. Alexa just on the ring ropes to start the match, sure.
Yeah, just standing there. And then she gets buried by ladders.
Yes, exactly. Her kryptonite.
Yep.
Lily's back, by the way.
Apparently.
Both on Raw, but before that, she was in the entrance as well. In AR form.
Ooh, I missed that.
Loved it.
That's something.
Yes, the big giant AR Lily, and I was a big fan of that. Let me tell you.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Naomi's moving to SmackDown, like I said. She'll be putting a tag team with Toni Storm before you know it. Nikki A.S.H. climbs a dog pile at the top of the ladder. She's the plucky underdog. She wins.
So plucky. Yep. I mean, that's fine. I didn't hate it. Like, yeah, it was that the win decision for this is fine. I'm okay with it. Makes sense. Called it. Enough. Yeah.
You did. I was the only one who called it in our Discord pool, by the way. Join our Discord. If you just go into the bio of this video, you can find it there. All of our videos have it. So go get it. For anyone who's like, she's a superhero, but she's not. Here's the thing with Nikki A.S.H. And this is commentary saying this, and I like this. They said Nikki A.S.H. doesn't believe she's a superhero. She thinks she can do anything when she dresses like one. I like that.
Yeah, I have no. Yeah, as far as the justification for this, it's better than the like Alexa stuff. So I'm good. I don't mind.
She doesn't have any superpowers. Her superpowers are literally that she's more confident when she puts on the mask and the cape.
Yeah, she's a massive dork with weird social problems, and this helps her feel confident. That's fine. Everyone I've met who wore a cape in real life wasn't very fun or pleasant, but that's fine if it makes her feel confident.
Just like a lot of wrestling fans. So she can fly. That's what we know. She can jump off a ladder and she can fly.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'm fine with doing it like this. Because the next night... Well, no, we're not even going to get to the next night.
Yeah,
because
we'll
the next night is big. We're going to talk about first the Raw Women's title at Money in the Bank. Let's talk about the Becky tweets.
Ugh.
It affects the fans and their expectations of the match. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no. Like, I mean, it's the main reason. Like, there was all this anticipation that she was going to return to the point where it's getting annoying because I don't care. When she returns, she returns. I really don't give a shit because, like, she's as good as everybody else on the roster. Like, I don't think she's that amazing that I'm clamoring to have her around. She's a capable wrestler. Like, these tweets cause weird problems because... You know, you saw it in the Rhea and Charlotte match, like when they're chanting, "We want Becky," and it's like, yeah. And then they said, "Screw you guys," and they put on one of, if not the best match of the entire night. And it's infuriating because, like, I didn't really expect much. They've had a rough go leading up. The build for this feud was garbage, and then it was undermined by the "We want Becky" crap off the top, and they still pulled it out. So I don't know.
Shout out to Charlotte. She starts to get the crowd back by getting heat on herself. Crotch chop, gives them the finger, and they black her out. Fine. It worked. The crowd was into it. And then they do some high spots. They go hard, as they do, and they get the crowd back. And then Rhea does that convoluted spin-out suplex into a vertical that they couldn't really get all the way there, but it looked brutal, and she still got it.
Yep.
And they were into it, and that's fine. And then that stopped the Becky chance. That was it.
Yeah.
There was a riptide into a DDT for a near fall. I liked it. The top rope natural selection was dirty. Good stuff.
And that's the thing. Like, if these tweets weren't going around, the speculation might not be as high, and none of that would have happened. So just don't do it. It's getting old. Like, it was funny the first time, but now it's just repetitive.
They're trying to invoke her name. But the problem is they don't know when they're going to bring her back. And by all accounts, it sounds like she was supposed to be back last night, but it didn't happen because they decided on something else, which we're going to get to in a second.
No, and I think that's good. if they pulled an audible on that, I think that was the right call. There was too much going on anyway. So why blow it all in one night?
My only nitpick from the entire match was the ring stars not being a DQ.
Yeah.
We talked about that on the watch along.
Pinned her leg between them and was stomping a few times. Like,
very strange. So we get to Raw. Charlotte's the new champion. She's the opportunity again, by the way. I like that because that was the best promo she had cut in years. Mm-hmm. So she's the opportunity. The crowd still wants Becky. And of course, they're yelling. And Charlotte brings her name up again multiple times. Becky, of course, does the Twitter thing. Whatever. Sure. They're not including Charlotte's NXT reigns anymore for her title reigns, which is weird.
Yeah, but that is weird.
Then again, the NXT champion debuted later that night, and we saw what happened there. So who knows how they feel about NXT? They do a shoe toss before.
So good.
She kicks
so
her.
So good, and then she stomps her knee. That was that was excellent. Very well done.
I thought she whiffed on the kick, and then I saw the replay, and I was like, that is so much better than what I thought happened.
Yeah, no, I saw exactly what she did, and I was like, yes!
Very good move. I liked it. They do a match. Rhea forgot that she's selling her knee until middle of the match.
Yeah.
Whatever. They have good chemistry when they go hard. And obviously they repeat a bunch of spots from the night before. Rhea does the figure four, which is great. But the immediate reversal makes sense because Charlotte should know how to reverse her move right away. And then Charlotte gets herself DQ'd because the announcers say that she could get fined for it, which I found
interesting. First time for everything.
And then something that wasn't the first time, because this was the third time it's happened to her, Charlotte gets cashed in on and loses the Raw Women's Championship to Nikki A.S.H. And Rhea doesn't care. She would probably prefer to have Nikki as the champion because she'd be easier to pick off. Rhea is still kind of a dick here.
Yeah.
That's fine with me. We're still telling that story, which I appreciate. We're still telling the Nikki, Rhea, and Charlotte story where Nikki kept either losing or at least being put in these, like, I can last as long as these two. Now she just got
two
one
minutes.
Over.
I can last 2 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that works for me. I don't mind them going back to it.
I like the continuity, at least, is appreciated. So, yeah, it's good. And I don't mind the quick cash in because it wasn't that good of a Money in the Bank match. Fair. And I think, like, you know, Big E's going to take some time because they got some stuff to do with Roman and or, well, you know, maybe they do it and gets his Goldberg match. But either way, like, I don't mind it. Like, I like when they mix it up. They don't all have to drag out a year. Having the Miz Otis thing drag out as long as it did kind of put me off it. So I'm okay with a quick cash in this year. I really am. And they, you know, the women didn't have one last year because Asuka and Becky had their thing. So.
They haven't had a woman hold Money in the Bank longer than Carmella did the first time.
Yeah.
And they waited a few months, I think, until it was like post whatever it was, but she cashed in on Charlotte as is tradition. So I was expecting this one to either go longer in terms of waiting until cash in, or it was going to be the first failed cash in. And yeah. When Nikki won,
that's I was like, what I was oh, really shit. Expecting is that yeah. She was going to fail. So like,
So let's get through the rest of Raw real quick. I'm not going to talk about the Symphony of Destruction match. I don't want to.
No, because God, why are we doing the same damn things over and over again?
Shout out to Corey Graves during the Charlotte interview or the Charlotte whatever, saying like those dorks on Twitter who tell me that it was a bass and not a cello. I've never been beaten up by a member of the band in high school. And I was cackling because during that funny. Stupid Symphony of Destruction match, they bring out a bass, like a double bass and they break it.
Yeah.
But they say it's a cello and people, it's a bass. Anyway, Mansoor and Ali are going to be a tag team. That's fine. Next week on Raw, Mansoor says Ali was right and Ali is reluctant. So here we go.
Interesting.
I'm in for it.
Yep, I'm fine with this. Again, I think that they're doing an okay job with running this in background until it can be in the foreground.
In walk Sheamus, Humberto Carrillo gets another shot for another shot of the U.S. title.
Sure.
Thank God. They're not going to do it like that because Humberto lost.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Priest's time, baby.
It's his time.
Yep. It's funny, Sonya saying we do not give handouts on Raw as she gives out a rematch for Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley.
It's as philosophically consistent as most libertarians who are anti-handout. So
Natty and Tamina go at it again. Match number 6 with Shania Payne.
They're just there. It's like, oh, okay.
Post-match, Reggie wins the 24/7 title. Sure, whatever. He'll do sure flips did. And stuff, it'll and it'll flips. Be entertaining.
Yeah, sure. I guess. And, it, you know, they removed him. Nia's got new hair. What happened? Why is Mandy Rose on NXT? What is happening?
Because Bailey got hurt. And Aaliyah's going to hopefully join the Raw roster. I like Nia's hairstyle, first of all.
Yeah, but me
also,
too. Yeah,
I thought she was going to turn on Shayna and stick with Reggie as a heater.
I appreciated the swerve. It's fine.
Yeah. Whatever. All right. Let's talk about Alexa's Playground real quick, and then we'll talk about this thing. Lily's back. And so are Eva Marie and Doudrop. I loved it. Alexa's like, I'm bringing on a very special guest. And I'm like, it's going to be Eva Marie and Doudrop again.
Yeah,
exactly. And it was. First of all, what was Eva Marie wearing?
The awful, awful outfit.
She apparently had her luggage lost by American Airlines. So I assume her and Doudrop went shopping over the weekend to find that. I guess. Whatever. Then she does a horrible trip because she can't act.
Wow, that was something, though. That was
the whole segment was something. Doudrop and Alexa Bliss should be best friends.
I agree.
That's all I have to say. Anything else about Alexa's Playground?
No, Alexa did good. It's a shame she has to be anywhere near Eva.
All right, let's talk about it. NXT champion Karrion Kross makes his Raw debut. Without Scarlett,
they took away the entrance, the most interesting thing about him.
I don't know if you noticed this. As he was walking down the aisle, he was singing his entrance theme, kind of to himself. Oh. It was kind of sad.
That's the thing. It felt sad. It felt like a sad walk. I think he knew that he was getting kind of screwed here. Like, and he
I
didn't
wonder
put
if
on
that's
him-
how he felt.
He did not put a brave face on it. Cause yeah, I saw his entrance and I was like, something's off. Why is he weirdly strange. Like, he doesn't seem very tough here.
Yeah. So he comes out, he does a thing. He looks very lonely and there's no reaction. Do people know about NXT? I don't know.
Don't think
there's a conversation to be had about casual fans. Maybe they're coming back. Maybe they care. I don't know about NXT.
Look, okay, the what chant in our circle is on the outs. No one's a big fan of it. Lots of people still chanting what?
Oh, are they ever?
So, like, you know, this bubble that we're in is not the bulk of all humanity.
Do we have the wins and losses conversation?
I mean, I don't know. Even then, it's a bad move all around for everyone involved, as far as I'm concerned. Like, this just didn't make a ton of sense. This was the weirdest thing on the whole episode. Like,
yes,
why? Like, people really love that stupid song. I don't care. I prefer his Muzak music because that's when I was watching. That's what he came out to. So. I don't really care about No More Words. Like, I was like, oh, is this song? Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember him doing this. Like, this wasn't he coming out to this when it was, like, his solo run in, like, the 2010s? Like, who cares? God.
It was, but that was...
Was he that good then?
He was a champion. He was WWE champion.
Was it that good of a run? I've stopped
actually,
watching.
Actually, he had moments. He had moments.
He did.
He had a really good feud with CM Punk at the time.
That makes sense to me because I didn't pay attention to any of that. Like,
I think bonkers decision is a pretty apt way to put it. It wasn't smart. And I sat back and I've watched a lot of takes and seen some conversations and just said like, I don't. Again, going back, like the wins and losses conversation that I just alluded to, I gave up years ago on trying to put wins and losses in a WWE conversation. Vince McMahon hates sports. We know this. He hates wrestling. He wants everything to be a pop. It wants everything to be a moment. He thought this would be a moment. And it was. It wasn't a good moment. That's the problem. Next thing you know, Jeff Hardy wins, guts pin. He's on the ropes and blah, blah, blah. He lost a bunch of matches in 2020 and 2021.
So many.
Sure. But, I mean, is this the start of a push for Jeff Hardy?
If he could cut a promo, then I would be a bit more behind Jeff Hardy. But, like, he can't anymore. He really, and I don't know that he ever could. I barely remember Jeff talking a lot. Like, what got him over was the crazy shit he did, which he also can't really and shouldn't do anymore. So, I don't know, there was a lot of frustrations
about the decision to have Cross lose the match. I'm willing to give it a couple of weeks. I want to see what we have to say. I don't expect a lot. It just feels like, you know what I mean? It's just, it happened. It was
there's
a moment.
There's no good reason for it. Like,
there is no good reason for it.
They're just like, the debut of Karrion Kross on Raw. And I was like, what? What is happening? Yep. And then Jeff Hardy comes out and I was like, the guy who hasn't won a single match and hasn't had a good feud. He's been the squash guy for like a while now. I don't know. And like, I'm not a big Cross fan, but this is like, what are you doing? Did you want this guy to be something or not? Because like, you've made him nothing now. I think that seriously hurts his image. Like,
if it was a test, I feel like it's the wrong test to give because Karrion Kross is not historically the type of person to get upset over his wins and losses.
No,
he's never been the guy who wants his character to be 100% going over. So that was strange to me. We got to move on because we have a tight hour with this show.
I don't know. It was weird. The way they did it makes no sense to me because he, like, his entire character is being a killer.
Yeah. He was Killer Cross.
Yeah, exactly. And now he's the guy who lost to Jeff Hardy.
Now he's Carry On My Wayward Cross. AEW Dynamite. Fighter Fest. Night 2. It's previewing. Yeah. Five Labors of Jericho. Okay.
Yeah, it's coming.
Jericho and Sean Spears. Jericho
the lowest, cannot, the first boss. Very first boss. Spears Jericho, with a chair.
Jericho cannot use a chair. Chair pervert Sean Spears can't.
Yep.
He can't win, so there's that. Frankie Kazarian takes on Dark Gallows. By the way, Kaz is finally factored into elite hunting, and he might take elite hunting on the road, Tim.
Ooh, he's going to hunt on the road.
Going to hunt. He might be hunting in Nashville, Tennessee very soon. Gallows makes a dick joke, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they got the titles again, so they can do that.
Do the swing. Do the swing of the dick thing. Yep. Or, oh boy. Orange Cassidy takes on the Blade. Brass Knuckles are being teased. Bunny and Statlander are going to be there. Sure. Any expectations out of this?
Somebody gets hit with Brass Knuckles.
Wonderful. AEW Women's Championship. Britt Baker takes on Nyla Rose.
Let's get it out of the way. Let's get it. I actually thought it already happened. And when I watched Dynamite, I was like, oh yeah, that hasn't happened yet.
Nope. Britt's first big title defense. Nyla Rose, of course, always plays the Goliath. What's next for Britt Baker, though? Are we like, is it bad that we're looking ahead?
It's not bad. We just need to build some people. There are plenty of people in the running.
And finally, announced the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship in a Texas Death Match.
Texas Dead.
Jon Moxley defends against Lance Archer in the match in which Lance Archer dropped the title to Jon Moxley at Wrestle Kingdom 14. Turnabout, is it fair play? Is it time for Lance Archer to win the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship? What's
it? I think Lance Archer needs a big win. Make him an actual real threat on the roster. If that's what they want to do, this would be a thing to do.
The only way to win that match is 10 count or submission. There are no pinfalls.
Okay, because after everyone knows after you are... Well, I guess you quit. I don't know. Whatever. That's cool.
Very strange. But here we are. Let's move on. NXT. We got to get towards TakeOver, right? We're almost there. We're getting there.
You're getting there.
Well, by the way, Lance Archer is 0-3 in title matches in AEW.
Yeah,
Lance Archer
see?
Also can't do anything without flipping himself on AEW programming. It's very strange. We talk about it on SmackPack every Sunday at noon.
Maybe him winning this will do what Miro's win did for him.
Yes. All right, let's get into it. So last week, Crossing Gargano, as expected, it's exactly what we talked about. Samoa Joe overshadowed the match.
That he did. He did. I thought there would be more to it, but there really wasn't. It was all the Joe Cross stuff, which I don't know. Now Joe's just going to kick his ass, no doubt.
It was a good showing from both men. And honestly, it was probably Karrion Kross's best match to date, if you don't count last night's match.
Yeah.
You know, so tonight, the big question is, what will Samoa Joe have to say? My feeling is he'll spend 2 hours laughing at Karrion Kross.
He should.
Just be every time he sees Kross, he just says, I beat Jeff Hardy. I beat him.
He should put on the Jeff stupid face paint with the eyes and then just go boo. Like just keep sneaking up on him.
Oh my God. I mean, that's perfect. Puts on the mask and the face paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. Let's do that. Cool Kyle and Austin Theory are going one-on-one tonight. Last week, Kyle doesn't want to be cool anymore. He wants to be Killer Kyle.
He's still, yeah, and the entire time he was talking about that, he just sounded like so much like Cool Kyle.
Well, he comes in. There's a backstage social video. Gargano being asked how he coped with losing to Karrion Kross last week. He does a little comedy stuff. And then Kyle O'Reilly comes into frame, and he reminds him that Austin Theory was talking trash, and Kyle O'Reilly's in a fighting mood. So they're going to go at it one-on-one. And Gargano says to Theory, you're going at it alone. I'm not coming with you to the ring. Austin Theory's going to do it by himself, Tim.
He's going to lose to Cool Kyle, yeah.
Yeah, all by himself. That's right. Well, I'll tell you who won't be alone tonight, and that's Cameron Grimes, because he's going to be with LA Knight. Yeah. And the two of them are going to be around each other as LA Knight takes on Drake shit. Maverick.
What?
Yeah. They posted another video. Basically, LA Knight's being driven to the arena by Grimes. They bicker because they're an old couple. And then LA Knight's like, go get my bags. Yeah. And Cameron Grimes like, I can get your bags. And so he goes and gets the bags. And it's just a bunch of empty bags, of course, but they're full bags. There's a bunch of physical comedy, dropping the bags and putting them over his shoulder and then dropping them. Drake Maverick shows up and he's like, hey, let me help you. I'm not going to put on a British accent. So let me help you. And then LA Knight's like, no, he's my butler. You do it yourself. Yeah. And then Cameron Grimes is like, I can do it, Mr. Knight. And then next thing you know, Drake Maverick and LA Knight are going to have a match. Any questions?
Did you practice those? They're very good.
I did that for you.
Oh, anyway, Drake's going to get destroyed. Maybe Knight will make Grimes help him win the match. That would be a good little bit.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, have Cameron Grimes cost LA Knight the match.
Yeah.
What did you think of that the segments last week, the Butler segments? Did you like those?
Yeah, I thought they progressed well. Cameron Grimes just being a good sport through most of it was very funny, but then, you know, not even think he's like, I'm still a rich guy, and then he hires a child.
Yes.
LA Knight with the hard no children on the property rule, something.
It's something that everyone should consider.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like going to a wedding. Would you allow children at your wedding? That's a question people ask at every time they have a wedding. I never had to worry about that. My wedding was very small. There were no children because everyone I knew didn't either didn't have children or just didn't want to bring them.
Yeah, I put mine way out in the woods so that it was difficult to bring them. So there, I don't think there were any.
They had to make their own. Oh, wait, your wedding, not your children.
Yeah, no, the wedding.
I put my children way out in the woods and told them they had to find their own way back before 11 o'clock. Anyway, so yeah, there you go. Drake Maverick and LA Knight. No, I did not rehearse that before doing it. You're welcome. Ember Moon and Dakota Kai last week was a good match. I feel bad for Ember Moon, though.
No, I like that they were shouting at her and saying that she was nothing without Shotzi. It was great.
She has no partner.
She's nothing.
She's lonely.
Yeah, got to howl at the moon, lone wolf, no longer in a pack. Yeah.
Well, she loses the match. Dakota Kai.
Good win for Kai.
Picks up the win, and out comes Xia Li. And she challenges Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's title, which is happening tonight. And the look that Dakota Kai shoots both women, especially her tag partner Raquel Gonzalez, is noteworthy.
Yep.
Very good stuff. Pull the trigger now on Kai and Gonzalez, or do you wait another week? What do you think?
Might be time.
Think so?
Yeah, getting closer. Maybe nothing one more worse. Week at most, but yeah.
Xia Li, as reported by our friends at Fightful Select, had a SmackDown dark match this past week. I'm all about it. I'd love to see Xia Li on the main roster with that presentation.
I don't know though now.
She can roundhouse kick motherfuckers in the face. Don't forget to like this video and leave a 5-star review, or I will get Xia Li to roundhouse kick you in the face.
She wants to do it. You know she does.
She will. Let's talk about Santos Escobar and Dexter Lumis.
Just talking shit. Get hit. Then he beat him.
Legado del Fantasma and Hit Row is coming. They had the face-off again. It's going to happen. Dexter, Lumis, and Indy Hartwell are going to get married somehow. It's the rule.
Her grabbing him and falling down was very good. And then yeah, ruined by just bad Candace. Let it happen.
Do you think we're going to split the way because there's no Gargano tonight for Austin Theory? Candace is kind of stopping Indy Hartwell from pursuing her love.
I was going to say, they just got new shirts, but clearly WWE doesn't care.
Never stopped them.
They doesn't stop. Like, if they didn't care about the Nobody's Bitch shirt, then they're going to steamroll through this. Very possible the way is over.
I like this. They announced tonight, sit back and enjoy the sounds of Legado del Fantasma as they will host a mariachi musical madness.
That's very funny.
They're going after their rivalry with Hit Row. And if this is better than the Cypher, we will talk about it for an hour on SmackDown. It sounded alone.
Like,
oh
man, it made it seem like he liked hip hop, but didn't like the Cypher. But I guess that's not where they were going with it.
I am so into this. What he's mayhem into will
mariachi
follow?
Music. What the?
Oh God. What instruments do they play?
The guitars and then like, a rounded thing that looks like it's another stringed thing. I don't know.
Either way. No, I mean, like, what will the members of Legado del Fantasma, what instruments will they play? Which one of them plays horn?
One of them has a signature dance that I was completely unaware of.
Oh my God. Yeah. Probably, it's probably DJ.
No, I know he said it, but I don't know. I've never seen him dance. So.
All right. Breakout tournament, Ikemen Juro taking on Duke Hudson. Duke Hudson is the man, let me tell you. Right?
Yep, got that butt.
Speaking of butt, Ikemen Jiro has a an introductory video package, and he says he's here to kick everyone's ass.
Yeah,
and the caption reads butts. I love it. Like, okay. So silly. You have a good match, and you know what? Ikemen Jiro is going to go far without this tournament. Because remember, this is an opportunity to like make one top guy momentarily. And the last time he did this tournament, it pretty much got everyone over
this
in
is,
the next little
as
while.
As far as I'm concerned, they're 2-for-2. I'm hyped about both those guys after last week. Both of the promo packages were excellent. Ikemon means handsome. Like it was arrogant guy versus arrogant guy, but one guy's fun and the other guy's a douche, and it was great. Yeah.
Good match. And for those who were upset about Jiro getting the loss, again, like they...
Fine.
This happened 2 years... Whatever. The last breakout tournament 2 years ago. It worked. It worked because every single guy ended up getting over. It just took a little bit more. It was more organic. This was a good way to introduce
the guy
everyone.
Said, Jiro said, I'm here to fight the big men. And I'm excited about it. He can take some losses from big men. Like,
totally.
That's part of the shtick. He'll be fine.
Everyone that you're going to see in this tournament, if you're listening to us, hear me out. Every single person in this tournament is someone that they have hopes for and plans for, and that they're really hoping breaks out, hence breakout tournament, and becomes a major member of their roster moving forward. With that in mind, tonight, the big man Odyssey Jones takes on Andre Chase. Andre Chase, also known as Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's about to get crushed.
Are we in the second round now?
No, it was the first round. First round with Lin-Manuel Miranda was a, what's the word? Qualifier.
Yeah, okay, now I got it.
Either way, you know what I want to see? I want to see Odyssey Jones, who will go far. I want to see Odyssey Jones and Bronson Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Two big old men getting it. Let's do that. Diamond Mine Tyler Rust last week takes on Bobbert Fish. Diamond Mine are here to dominate. They want to make money, do the thing. Sure. Good match.
Sure. Yeah.
Tommy and Timmy are going to take on Oni and Pete next. That's apparently the thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, Tommy and Timmy are so over. They can't be anything but faces.
Yep. Saray and Gigi Dolan happened last week. Interestingly, Mandy Rose, we alluded to, she showed up. She's interested in something.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't get that. And that match was kind of sloppy.
I'm wondering if she's interested in Frankie Monet, who is in action tonight. Monet, by the way, is now leading the Robert Stone brand.
Because Robert Stone has left. Appears to still be in the brand, it seems, which is the weirdest thing.
Monet's Mean Girls are now Frankie Monet, Jesse Kamea,
and Robert Stone.
Maybe Mandy Rose. Maybe it's Mandy and Monet. Maybe that's the new Eminem. Who knows?
I don't know.
Either way, I'm interested in tonight's show. It's going to be good. People are saying it's a trade cross for Mandy Rose. Sure, whatever. I don't care. As long as it works for me. Until then, NXT starts now. Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
Tipstone, TimBSTONEP on Twitter.
Show is at Tim and Joel Pod. Yes, Mandy Rose for Aaliyah. There you go. It's Xia Li for everyone, okay? She's going to roundhouse kick you if you don't like this video or leave a 5-star review here on iTunes or wherever you're listening. I'm Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. Let's hang out soon. Cheers, everyone. We'll see you on Smack Pack.
Gigi Dolan's music sounds like the sweet dreams of Marilyn Manson. Somebody should sue. Goodbye.
Accurate.